of the new ministries that God has enabled me just to start this month is helping other pastors with their churches, planning, organizing. And if a pastor, when we sit down and talk, one of the first questions I ask him is, what do you want your church to be in, say, a year or 12, 24 months? And they'll give some goals and things they want to accomplish. And then I'll say, do you have a plan? Most of the time, there's no plan, and that's where we start working. Many times, as a matter of fact, all of you probably have something you want to do with your life. You have goals, dreams, and things you want to accomplish, but you might not have a plan. You probably have the talent. You probably have the vision, the passion, the dreams. You may be able to even see what it looks like, but you don't have a step-by-step plan to get there. Well, last week, we started a four-week series called Eternal Trust. God has entrusted us with the gospel. He has given us a responsibility and a resource in the gospel, in the Bible, to manage that. And last week, we talked about how the correlation between the Bible and business concepts, that business concepts, the idea of managing people to be productive, comes from the Bible. And so what we're going to do today is we're going to review that, and then we're going to talk about what the Rock's plan is to accomplish God's goal for our church. What is the Rock's plan? How are we going to evangelize San Diego? How are we going to accomplish what God has called us to be? And what is your role? And I'm going to talk about what my role is as senior pastor. I'm going to talk about what the staff's role is. And I'm going to talk about what your role is. Now, the reason it's important for us to do this is because we need to have the same expectation on each other. I was talking to a couple last week, 24 and 25-year-old guy and girl. They're engaged. And we were talking, they're getting married in September, I think, or August, in the fall. And I said to the girl, the woman, the young lady, your fiance, has ideas in his head about what marriage is like and what your marriage is going to be like. He has ideas that you don't know about. Then I said to him, your woman, she has ideas in her head about what your marriage is going to be like and what she's going to be like as a wife that you don't know about. So it's very important for us to get all these expectations out on the table so you both know what your expectations are and so you can agree or disagree now and work it out before you get the ring and get married. So it's very important for us here in January. This year, we're going to move into our new building. This year, we're potentially going to minister a whole lot more people. It's very important for all of us to understand why we're doing all what we're doing with the building and, the raising the money and blah, 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 and why we're having these classes. And what is your role? What is my role? What is the church's role? So we can all be on the same page and understand what's going on. Amen? Very good. So let's do a little review. If you look in your notes, a review. We talked about the definition of a business. The definition of a business, let's read that on the screen. I'll read it to you. It says, the business is a Bible-originated concept of managing people to productively accomplish set goals. A business is a concept, Bible-orientated. Business is not secular. It's Bible. The secular world copied the Bible, got the principles from the Bible, but the concepts come from the Bible. And the business is a concept of when you organize a group of people to work together to accomplish a goal. Jesus Christ came to be about his Father's business. He came to give the world a mission and a vision and say, I need, to organize you under the banner of the church to accomplish a specific set of goals. He made it very clear, and we're going to talk about what those goals are today. So we are here to be about God's business. You don't have to make profit to have a business. We're actually a nonprofit. We don't operate for the sole purpose of making a profit for any individual. So it's not necessarily about money. You can have a business without operating to make money. All nonprofit businesses are that way. So we are about God's business. So if we're about God's business, what is this business? And do we have a plan? Yes, we do. We know what the business is. Keep reading the notes. It says Jesus had how many disciples? 12 disciples. Actually, he had how many? 11. He had 11. He had 12. One stabbed him in the back. Literally, one betrayed him. One let him down. Why is it important that Jesus would have one of his disciples to train? People say, well, Jesus, why did he pick that guy? I'm a guess that he picked him knowing he was going to do that, obviously, because he knows everything. And why did he pick him? Because he wanted to illustrate to us that even though you may have people who are close to you, they're going to disappoint you. But the mission can still be accomplished. And also, he let Judas watch the money. Why did he let Judas watch the money? Because he wanted you to make sure you don't worship the money. Okay, you worship God. So he had one of his disciples betray him. He said, look, watch. He's going to betray me. He's going to misuse the money. And we're still going to have the mission be accomplished. I'm not saying we can misuse money, not at all. But he said, look, I'm not going to worship the money. I'm worshiping God. So he made sure he wants us to understand, even when you're trying to do something and someone disappoints you, don't let it rock your world. Just say, okay, got it, boom, boom, but I'm still going on because God has called me to do this. Whether I got to go by myself or not. So if you're sure God wants you to do something, hey, if people come join you, whatever. But if people let you down, which they will, they let Jesus down. Just keep going. Next it says, Jesus had 12 disciples and he gave them a mission to make what? Disciples. Say it again. Disciples. Everyone say disciples. Disciples. Matthew 28:19, Jesus said, go make disciples of all nations. Go make what? Disciples. Here is the church's business, to make disciples. The church's business is not to build buildings. That is a means to an end. The church's business is not to make big congregations. That is a means to an end. And matter of fact, God makes the congregations. It is the church's business to make disciples. Are you a disciple? And are you making disciples? Well, if you're not, what are you doing? You're not being about church's business. Well, you say, well, I come to church. That's not the church's business. This should be part of your disciple-making process. So now, why is this important? Because when I come here every week, six times on a weekend, that's what I'm trying to do. Staff, trying to do. So we all are, if we're all on the same page, we're going to get there a whole lot quicker. We're going to get there a whole lot quicker. If you've ever been in a project with somebody and you're trying to get this done and they're trying to get this done and you keep fighting, you get nothing done. Imagine if we were in that every week. I'm trying to get this done. You're trying to get that done. And we don't go anywhere. We have fun, but we don't go anywhere. I want to get somewhere. I want to get something done. So the Bible says we need to be about making disciples. So when we have small groups for you, that's part of the disciple making process. We had that boot camp class I told you about. Matter of fact, if you haven't signed up for the boot camp class, it's 12 weeks long. It's in your bulletin. You can go online and sign up. They're starting this week. They had two classes today. Sign up and go to a class. Learn more about the Bible. Learn more about how to pray, how to study, da 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 da. It's all about helping you grow as a disciple. So that's what we're trying to do. Why? Because Jesus told us to do that. Imagine if every single one of you said, okay, I'm going to make one disciple. He makes a disciple. He makes her a disciple. And it goes down the line. Everybody gets covered. And guess what? Then you don't all have to come to the same place at the same time because you're independently walking with God and growing in the Lord by yourself. So it says here, Jesus says, make disciples. Then it says, with a vision to place them in all what? Nations. All what? Nations. Everyone say nations. Nations. Take a deep breath in. Say nations. Nations. Very good. He said, I want you to make disciples and I want you to go global. Here he is. Before he died. He rose from the dead. He's getting ready to ascend into heaven to lead them for good. And he says, here's what I want you to do. You've seen my miracles. You've heard my lessons. You see me rise from the dead. Now you're convinced I'm Christ. Here's what I want you to do. Make disciples of all nations. Baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And in Acts 1:8, he tells them, I want you to start in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth. That's what I want you to do. Then he left. This is not a mystery. This applies to every church on the planet earth that worships Jesus Christ. That's what he told us to do. This is not my idea. It's not a suggestion. It's not an option. This is what God told us to do. Now, some people want to come to church and all they want to do is have a nice little fellowship. I just want to have a Bible study. I don't want you to get in my business. I don't want to be inconvenienced. That is not what Christianity is. It's not even a version. It is not. That's the death of the church. To have people be complacent. We don't want to do that. And we want to make sure we understand that what we're trying to do and what we're trying to motivate you to do is exactly what the Bible says to do. Exactly what the Bible says. Now, you may come from a church. We don't talk about that. I'm just telling you what Jesus says. I can't speak for your church if you go from another church. I'm just telling you what God said. Okay? Look what it says next. We have a mission statement, how we summarize his great commission. It says, the mission of the Rock exists. The Rock Church exists to save. Everyone say save. Say equip. Say send. Soul winners for Jesus Christ. Now, look, give me hands. Let me hands. Hand signs. Hey. Like this. Say save.
Save.
Quit.
Quit.
Finger, one finger. Send.
Send.
Let's do it again. Save.
Save. Quit. Quit. Send.
Say it out loud.
Save. Quit. Send.
One more time. It's an amazing thing to make y'all laugh. I'm very happy right now because I've always wanted to write on this whiteboard this, in church. Very happy. Save, say it.
Save.
How many P's in a quip?
One.
Is anybody here under 10? Okay, yes, where is she? How, where is she? She's not under 10. Oh, she's really under, he's really under 10. How old are you, young lady? 9. How many P's in the word equip? Say 2. Very good. Now we're 9. If you want to stay young, do what young people do. Send. Everyone say save.
Save.
Say equip.
Equip.
Say send. Look at that. I wrote on the board. Thank you. Most people, a lot of people, get saved and then they get lost in space. They never make it to this. How many of you know if I say, danger, Will Robinson, danger? How many of you do not know what that is? Raise your hand. Wow. Danger, Will Robinson, danger. How many of you do not know what that is? There was a show a long time ago called Lost in Space. Okay? It's a black and white movie about these guys lived on a moon, some space, and they were lost in space, and they had a robot. And anytime some alien came, he would go, danger, Will Robinson, danger. He would sense it. I'm not trying to be funny because I see you're not laughing, but I'm just trying to tell you what that means. We want to get saved, and then you got to make the leap to get equipped. Small group, one-on-one accountability, boot camp, something. But you can't do nothing. It may be easy for you to do nothing. I'm just going to come to church, I'll sit in the back, I don't know about it. That's not biblical. You're killing yourself. You're cheating yourself. You got to get into this level. Now, some churches say win, disciple, send, evangelize, train, and deploy. It's all the same stuff. They all got different words. But this, it all means the same thing. Jesus said, make disciples. How do you make a disciple? First, they got to get saved. Then you got to teach them. And then they got to go do it. So that's the concept behind it. This is all we are about. One of the reasons In-N-Out is successful. Hamburgers and French fries. Say it again. I know this is deep. Pay attention. Hamburgers, French fries. And it's so simple, it's so basic, they take the potato and just right into the grease. They don't even worry about trying to freeze it and ship it. They just give me the potato. Whack. They probably got cows in the back. Hamburgers. Now, why do I tell you that? Because if you go to all these other fast food places, they got hamburgers, they got hot dogs, they got tacos, they got eggs, they got chicken, they got fish, they got chimichangas, they got choratos, and they got the motherfucking, and they got the frappuccino, and latte. And you're like, you ever see that commercial where the girl comes and say, can I have a number 6? You know, can I have a number 9? Whoop, number 9. Hamburgers. French fry. Save, quit, sin. Are you saved? Well, get saved. We don't need to talk about it. Get saved. You saved? Do something. Get quit. If you're equipped, go do something. Well, Pastor, can we do? No. Save. Can we go? No. Save. Quit. What about this? Are you feeling me? Yeah. This is what God said. This is what God wants you to do. Now, why is this very important for us to understand? Because we need to be focused. We need to make it real simple. Now, the vision statement is when you close your eyes and you imagine the mission working. In other words, two people get married. Okay? What is your vision for your marriage in 10 years? One, that we're still married. Two, we are passionately in love with each other still. Three, we're healthy. We know how to deal with conflict because there will be conflict. And we're content with each other. Simple, keep it like that. Okay? That's your vision. So if we do this right, what does that look like? Let's read it. On three, let's say it together. One, three. The vision of the Rock Church is to be a powerful evangelistic force that engages every segment of society as a motivated army of believers in Jesus Christ. We are wholeheartedly committed to using our gifts anywhere at any time to share the gospel while influencing and transforming our culture. This force will evangelize San Diego and empower other churches to use this ministry model around the world. Basically, do evangelism, ba-bam, and teach evangelism. We do not want to have as a vision to have a big congregation. We want to be a powerful evangelistic force that engages every segment of society. Rich people, poor people, all ethnic groups, people who have jobs or don't have jobs, people who are sick, healthy, living under the bridge on a 20,000 square foot home. It don't matter. For all of y'all, there may be some of y'all who go to seminary, some, you know, Christian college. And when you go there, one of the things they'll teach you in church growth is that you should target a homogeneous group. In other words, if you're going to start a church, identify the demographic you are going to target, and they will always tell you, you target one homogeneous group. What does that mean? You either target all white people, all black people, all people who make this much money, this slice of society, but you do not go after everybody. Don't do that. Why? Because it's too many different directions people are going. It's too complicated. So when we start our church, we say, we're not doing that. We're going after everybody. Look around the room. You got everybody here. Amen. Now, when you go to heaven, when we go to heaven, what's going to be? All the nations worshiping with God together. The most powerful evidence that God is in someone's life is their love. When you see people have nothing to do with each other, worshiping God together, laughing, loving each other, you go, it's God. People who used to hate each other, God. And so we decided in the very beginning. Well, it wasn't really even something we had to decide. It was something that happened ever since day one. But we want to be a force. Now, if you don't have everybody represented, it's going to be hard to get everybody. But if you look around this room and you in this church every weekend, all those kinds of people in the church. I was at the bank 3 days ago. It was cold out, so I had my black sweat top, hood, black beanie. I left the house with the intention of driving through the drive-thru and doing the teller. That was my intention. So I go to the teller. It ain't working. So I go around, get out, do the teller outside that you walk up to. It ain't working. It's not working. Got little kids in the house. I don't want to teach them bad English. Then I go in to the teller, into the bank. You have to come in the bank. The teller's not working. So I go into the bank, and I'm standing there with my hands in my pocket, Black beanie on, black sweat, black, and all I got to do is do this and I'm robbing the bank, right? So I'm standing there going, I have to really pray to stand in line. Anyway, so I'm just praying. And they finally said, okay, come. So I give my checks. And I just want to deposit the checks and I'll go home and leave you alone. She said, sir, you can't deposit this check in your account because it says this on it. And I said, but my name's on it. And I deposit the check every month in the account. And you know, I get it every month. Can you put it? Well, sir, you know, I'm sorry, but we just can't. I said, well, you know, I really have an account here. And here's my card. And here's my face, my ID. And, you know, what do I do with it? She said, well, let me go talk to the manager. So she walks all the way around, comes back. Well, I'm sorry. He just said, well, can you tell him that I do this every month? So she goes back all the way around. She said, well, and then she said, well, I'm going to have to fill this out. I said, can I take it to him? Because I could just go straight across the room. You don't have to go all the way around. And I could, you know, she said, oh, yeah, sure. So I go take it to him. And the guy's sitting there. And he goes, sorry. And for 10 minutes, I sit at this guy's desk. Right in front of him. And he's going through, you know, what's your name and your account? I say, here's my card. I've been doing banking here for years. And he says, is your name out? Yes. And do you live at this? And no, it's in the wrong address. Is this your phone number? No, it's the wrong phone number. And do you work at Horizon Christian? No, I work at the Rock Church. And he went, I go to the Rock. Like, when's the last time you were there? He says, well, actually, I'm from Egypt, and I go to a Coptic Egyptian church with true Egyptians. And I visit every now and then, but I usually sit in the back, and I just didn't recognize you. And my point of telling the story, other than it was kind of funny, is to tell you there's people from all over. And that is not only what we want, it's what God is doing. It's not only what God is doing, it's what we want and want to maintain. So we want to be a powerful evangelistic force because, you know what, if we're going to minister to people, it's great to have. There's people here who just got out of prison. There's people here who work in the prison. It's amazing. There's a lady who goes here. She was a guard in the prison. She used to prevent the Christians from coming into prison. She got saved. She's coming to church here. Now she's working, volunteering in the prison with our prison ministry. And the inmates in there said, when you come back and minister in the chapel, we're going to be your bodyguards. And it's happening right here. There was a guy, I was standing back there with my wife one day, and I saw this dude doing this. He was walking around. He was like over here. He's looking at us. You can just tell suspicious brothers. So we're like, security, security. White guy, black leather, bald head, goatee. Okay, boots, black boots, black pants. Okay, a little suspicious. So, okay, let me walk over there by myself. Honey, stay here. You know, if I get killed, you don't want any insurance policy. So I walk over here, and the guy starts walking up to me. So he walks up to me, and he goes, Pastor Miles, my name is so-and-so. How you doing? He says, about this tall. He said, I just got out of prison. I did 10 years. And I think he said he got saved on Easter or something. He says, I've never been happier. And I said, give me a hug. I started hugging him, rubbing his bald head. And I said, brother, please do not leave this church. Please. We want to help you. My point is this. Save, equip, send everybody. And the only way we're going to get everybody if you get who you know. That's all you got to do. Just get who you know. That's it. Okay? Now, look what it says, number 3. Senior pastor, what I'm going to do now is I'm going to tell you my job. I'm going to tell you the staff's job. I'm going to tell you your job. This is a staff meeting. Okay? Just look at it that way. Number 1, senior pastor, to lead and feed. Everyone say lead.
Lead.
Say feed.
Feed.
Lead, and I'll give you a little more on this in a minute. It means this is where we're going. Feed is going to give you the word. Okay? Now, to illustrate this, I want to read from you Exodus 18. Let me give you this little context of the story. Moses just left. In fact, Exodus is what from where?
Exodus from Egypt.
Woo, that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
what I'm talking about. And where did they go after they left Egypt? They came to a mountain called Mount what? Gosh. That's right. What's this? What's this? What's this? What's this? We just did it. Okay. Moses comes out and he's got 2-something million people there. And he's sitting there day and night, and all of them are coming to him one at a time. Moses, is no water. Okay, I'll try to hook you up. Moses, is no bread. Oh, okay. Moses, is no meat. Moses, my camel is sick. Oh, the people next to me are snoring. It's hot. Moses, help. Moses, Moses, Moses. So Moses is sitting there going, okay, 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 okay. Do you know that I tried to start a church about 2 years before I started this church? 3 things stopped me. Well, 1 thing stopped me, God, but he did it in 3 ways. 1, whenever I would talk about the church, I would get nauseous to where I almost threw up. 2, I got boils on my face. And 3, why is that funny? Number 3, I was laying in bed and I was having a nightmare. And in the nightmare, it was a woman, it had nothing to do with a woman or male, but it just happened to be a woman going, Pastor Miles. Pastor, and it's like hundreds of voices. Pastor, 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 pastor. And I was like, I said, okay, God, I won't do it now. He said, not now. So here's Moses. Moses, 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 Moses. 2-point-something million people. He's doing it all by himself. Here's what his father-in-law tells him. Chapter 18, verse 19. Listen now to my voice. I will give you counsel and God will be with you. Stand before the people. Stand before God for the people so that you may bring the difficulties to God. You shall teach them the statutes and laws. Say teach. And you shall show them the way in which they must walk and the work they must do. Say lead. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to, Moses, I want you to stand before God over here. And I want you to get God. And I want you to go back and tell them what God said and the way they should go. Okay? Let's keep reading. Verse 21, moreover, or also, or in addition, you shall select from all the people, able men such as fear God, men of truth, hating covetousness, who are not greedy, place such over them to be rulers of thousands, say thousands,
thousands.
Say rulers of hundreds, say hundreds,
hundreds.
Rulers of 50, say 50s, 50s. Say tens. Let them judge the people at all times. Then it will be that every great matter they shall bring to you, but every small matter they themselves shall judge. So it will be easier for you, and they will bear the burden with you. When it says great and small matters, it doesn't mean more important and less important. It means the matters that affect everybody, you would need to be involved in that. The matters that affect individuals, you don't need to be involved in that. It's not that one's more important than another. It's the impact they have on the whole. Because Moses would say, lead and feed. He can't be involved in every little thing. Okay? So he says, get these people to manage. And it says, verse 23, if you do this thing and God so commands, then you will be able to endure it. You will live and all the people will go to their place in peace. Let me illustrate. I got another piece of paper. So happy right now. Let's hypothetically say that's me. Rulers of tens, 50s, 100s, thousands. Are you with me?
Yeah.
What do you tell Moses? Moses, I'm sorry. We have down here 3.1 million people in San Diego. There's about 7,000 to 7,500, give or take, that come here every weekend. Some churches will double that to say that's how many people go to their church. We usually say what's in the room, we count it just by the weekend, but on a monthly basis, there may be 12 to 15,000 people that come through our doors. So let's just say 12,000, okay? You got 3.1 million people here who need the gospel. You got 12,000 who are sitting in the room every month saying, hearing me say to them, let's go do something. And what if it was only me? It never happened. We wouldn't be this far. Could have never started. What God is telling Moses, Moses, I want you to get people who can rule over and rule over, manage, minister to, equip, train, whatever, tens, fifties, hundreds, and thousands. Thousands, hundreds, fifties, and tens. I want, because people have different gifts and different capacity. Some people are very high capacity people. Some people are middle capacity. It's not better or worse. It's just how God has equipped different people, because you need all levels of management. I want you to find people who have skills. Now, you might have seen this in some multi-marketing presentation. Yes? They got it from the Bible. And what I mean by that, they didn't read the Bible and say, we're going to do that. You just read it. I just told you. Well, I just read this. This concept did not come from Amway. It came from God. It's very important for you to understand that, because when you see stuff like this, you go, that's the secular. Well, this is from the Bible. I just read it to you. All these concepts come from the Bible. God created us to work together, and he created us with certain gifts to work together and to complement each other. That's just how God made us. This is biblical. So God says, I want you to get Moses. I want you to get people who can manage 50s, 10s, 100s, and 1,000s. Now, here's the situation. My job is to try to find these people and try to set up a system and find people who can set up the system and implement the vision that God has given us. Okay? Our job is to make you into a disciple and to help you make someone into a disciple. Save, equip, send. Anything that doesn't do that is a distraction. An example, we have a sports ministry, a biking ministry. I'm just random. Nothing against biking ministry. I don't know enough to say anything. Just random. You got a bike ministry. And you say, well, I want to start a bike ministry. Well, why? Well, because I just want to ride bikes with Christians. Okay, you want to ride bikes with Christians. There's no saving going on, right? Ain't no saving going on. Is there equipment? No, we're just going to ride bikes. So there's no equipment going on. And y'all going to reach out? No, we ain't going to reach out to nobody. We ain't no sending going on. So why are we doing that? Why are we doing that? There ain't no saving going on. Ain't no equipment going on. Now, so how can you easily use it for this? Well, just invite somebody that's not saved. It's that simple. Have a little devotional. Pray for that person. Develop a relationship with someone who's not saved. And all of a sudden, hey, you want to come to church? It's that simple. No, we don't want to do that, my Lord. We just want to be with ourselves. We don't want any non-Christians in our biking group, because, you know, we're close-knit. That is the beginning of the end. We can't have that mentality. Even on Sunday, every time I come here, in this room, always, there's six times, there's non-Christian people who don't know anything about the Bible. There's people who know a lot about the Bible and everything in between. So when I get up here to speak, I'm speaking to the person who doesn't know anything, to the person who knows, thinks, know everything. I'm speaking to both groups. So that's why you might say, why does he keep saying that over and over again? Why? Because some people, it's his first time here. Some people don't know anything. So I'm speaking to that person, and I'm speaking to the person who's been here all the time. So I'm trying to cover all those bases. One of the reasons we have, I'll get to that in a minute. So you might think, well, if we were in a classroom with only Christians, then we could have a different conversation. We can talk just about the Bible, and I can assume you know some stuff, and we can be more a little thorough in it. But in a group like this, you have a little bit of everything. So my job is not to have a seminary class, is to accomplish the goal of saving, equipping, and sending what we can do in a room this big with so many different ideas and levels of maturity and understanding of the Bible. You follow me? This can't be your only spiritual meal. This can't be the only time you read your Bible, pray, learn something in the Bible. If this is your only meal, it'd be equivalent of you eating one meal a day or one meal a week. You would starve. So spiritually, some of y'all are starving because this is the only church you get, the only Bible you get. You have to feed yourself spiritually every day. That's part of the equipment process, where you can get to the point where you can feed yourself. And you can come to church not only to get, but you're coming to church to give. You're going to a small group to give. That's when this happens. Ba-bam! Ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba! from one person. This could be thousands of people. And this is not even me. This is another pastor. Imagine you had 10 of those pastors and you had thousands of people. Now you got people mobilized to do some stuff. Here's the reason why. We got 12,000 people here saying, I need help. 12,000 people saying, I need help. I want to be in the ministry. I want to be in counseling. I'm getting married. I'm feeling depressed. I need benevolence, whatever it is. I need help. And so we need to have people that can help them. And then you got 3.1 million people who are trying to get to be in that level so they can get help. That's what we're trying to do. We can't do that alone. It's impossible. But that's what God told us to do. Save. Well, if you're in a church, most of these people are already saved. So we got to go to here to keep that going. Equip them. Let's go. And then go back out and get more people. Because if these little dots multiply, then we can more effectively get this 3.1 million. So that's what this is about. Now, we did a survey last year to decide what distinctives makes the Rock what it is and why do people like you come. We didn't say teach the Bible, evangelism, altar call, because that a lot of people do that. We said, what are the unique characteristics that make it different? In other words, there's a lot of fast food places that do hamburgers and french fries, right? But what is it about In-N-Out that they do hamburgers? Why is their hamburger and french fries different from the other ones? They do hamburgers and french fries too. So what is it about In-N-Out that makes them different from the other ones that do hamburgers and french fries? So we wanted to find out what was different about The Rock. And these distinctives I'm going to tell you about are going to be like railroad tracks or fences to keep us in the middle. We don't want to deviate from these nine things. And they're right there in your thing. So I'm going to read them to you. Now, as I read them to you, some of you may say, yeah, that's what I like about The Rock. And some of you may say, that's what I don't like. What's important for you to know is that this is what we're going to do our best to never change from. See, some people go to church and they go, you know, I like it, but, and they don't know what that is. Well, now you may find out, and then you could decide, do you want to live with it? Or you may say, you know what, I don't want to live with that. I was hoping they would change, but now I see they're really not going to change, so I may want to go someplace else. Or you may say, that's what I love. Okay, let's read it. These are nine characteristics that came out of focus groups, four different focus groups. I was not part of any of them. People who go to the church, people on staff, and people who visit from other churches. They asked them a series of questions. Number one, say non-traditional. We are non-traditional, and we will try our best never to be traditional. Some people like tradition. This is not the place you're going to get a lot of it. We don't want to be traditional. Okay? If you don't know what traditional is, good. You're not going to see it. Two, fun. Say fun. We want to have fun. God is fun. You know what? One of the sad things on the surveys that people said, what we learn when we go to The Rock or what we realize is that God is fun. You know why that's sad? If I'm God, I'm like, that's messed up. How many people don't really know that I'm a lot of fun? Think about that. He is so creative. He created humor. He gave us the ability to smile and laugh. Every day you wake up, one of the funniest things you'll ever see. is in the mirror. My daughter has hair. she'll come down in the morning and she'll be like, you know, just kind of halfway. And her hair is just like, and I have one word for it. I just look at her and go, wow. When you wake up tomorrow, just get up, walk to the mirror, and go, one of the reasons God stanks your breath overnight is so you will brush your teeth. It's his dental plan. Because you wouldn't brush your teeth if your breath didn't stink. Some of y'all would just go, I'm cool. How many of y'all ever did this? I'm cool. Especially when you were 12. Hey, when you're 12, especially if you're 12 and you're a guy, you try to go as long as possible without taking a bath. Maybe 10. I don't know what age that is. Fellas, you know what I'm talking about? You just try to go as long as you can. It's like the water's going to melt you. I'm melting. Okay, look at this. It says, number two is fun. Number three is young-minded. You don't have to be young, but you got to have a young mind. Okay? You got to be youthful. Four, passionate. We do not want to be unpassionate. We will try never to put up a speaker here who's not passionate. There's some great speakers around, but they may come up here and just, you know, we'll try not to do that. We may do one every now and then. Someone has a real special message, but we want passion. Direct and simple. Be very direct and simple. I'm not going to talk way up here so you don't understand. Some people like that. They want to hear stuff they don't understand. Wow, that was deep. What do you say? I don't know, but it was deep. We ain't going to do that. Okay. Inclusive. We want everybody to feel welcome. Dude came to me one day. Tattoo, blah, 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 blah. Former meth addict. And he said, I just want to thank you for making me feel at home. Bless my heart. Another brother was here, tattoos all over his body, covered his body up. It was Christmas Eve 2 years ago. We were standing right over there. I said, why are you covered up? I'm just a little self-conscious. I want people here to see your tattoos. That's who you are. God saved you from that. Matter of fact, that's God's honor that he saved you from that. And so that is very, very important, because once we get traditional, everyone got to look the same, act the same, we cease to be what we are. And we'll die. Seven, transparent. Try to be, here's what it is, tell you the truth. Challenging. We're going to keep kicking you in the butt. Let's go. Let's go. And last, my world centric. We don't know how to say this, but what it means is that the Rock Church doesn't exist to go minister in Israel. We love Israel. We'll probably go there. We've been there, whatever. Africa, Mexico. All that stuff is legitimate ministry. No question. But I don't know if there's ever a week we don't go by, I don't talk about San Diego. San Diego, who do you know? Go get who you know. So many times we want to come to church and go someplace else where it's safe without confronting what's right in front of us. That's our focus, is to be. Now, why is this important? There are many churches in the history of America, they start out, they're on fire, they got people standing outside, they're packed, they build this big building, and now here they are with 70 people in it. And it is dead, and they should close the door. Why? Because they didn't stick to what got them there in the first place. Here's the commitment from me and our board, is to never get away from these things, even if I can't do them. There's going to come a day, I'm probably going to be about 117, 18 years old, where I'm not going to have the energy to do this. Someone else has got to do it, and that's what they got to do. Right here. Someone said, hey, Pastor, we're going to be traditional. Nope. We don't want to have fun anymore. Nope. We don't want to, we don't want to include all those people over there. Nope. We want to get away from that? We ain't getting away from that. Because that's what makes, now we're going to do evangelism, no question. We're going to do worship. We're going to have altar call, all kinds. That stuff is a given. We're going to do it this way. And so in our mind, we design the building, we do the programming. We're always trying to think about this. Matter of fact, worship music is one of the most divisive things in our culture. We have all kinds of bands up here. And you may say, well, I don't like that band. You know what? You're not going to like every style of music. Why? Because if I was to make a poll in this room, there's probably 10 different types of music that y'all like. And people love their music. But you have to understand, because there's so many people here and we're ministering to so many different kinds of people, we want to appeal to all of them. So we want to give a little flavor to everybody. There's no perfect way to do that. So sometimes you're going to see, you're going to be like, oh, I love this song. Next thing, I don't like this style of worship. And I get email, we don't like that. I don't like that guy. It's like, please. This ain't about just you. It's about everybody. And there's people here who don't know anything about God. And, you know, sometimes we'll sing, put a nice, just a song to get them, hey, I understand this song, and get them slowly into where they can start worshiping the Lord. Okay, so there's a little science to the madness, but it's about, and we try to represent, especially when it's the bands from the church, represent all the different kind of shades of brown in the room so people can see themselves up there to some degree, get a little feel and have some music. Why? Because we're trying to be inclusive as possible. So just be patient with that process. That's what we're trying to do. So when I'm 117 years old, matter of fact, I just thought of this today. When I die, I hope I have like a week of just saying goodbye to certain people and making sure some stuff is in order. And one of the things I would love to do when I die is to have the leadership of the church have a meeting. Say, I'm getting ready to go be with the Lord. I want to see the strategic plan for the next 5 years. They would say, Pastor, we're going to do these nine attributes all intact. We have 60,000 people in Sundays all around San Diego. We're going to talk about that in a minute. And we are set to grow at the same rate we've been growing for 80 years. Can you imagine? I have 73 years left to live. Go ahead and laugh. Go ahead and laugh. Can you imagine? Just think about this. Can you imagine this church thriving at this rate for 73 more years? Doing this? What would happen to that number? Now, the reason that that is not ridiculous, because even if I died in 50 years, it still can keep going. And that's why this is important, so it goes 73, 73, 73 for hundreds of years. That's why this is critical. That 300 years from now, we are still doing that. So when it comes down to whoever's going to replace me, we're going to say, can you do that? Because if you can't do that, you ain't the pastor. And by the way, when we hire people on the staff, not a perfect science, we try to get people who understand that. Now, so that's my role. If I'm awake, I'm doing something work related, except on the day I'm supposed to take off. But 80, 90 hours a week, I study, preach the sermons, which is about 30, 35, 40 hours a week. I try to plan ahead. Our sermons are planned ahead about 3 months in advance with all the details. We're working on them all the time. So we're trying to do the ones we're doing and the ones we're planning. I do stuff with the building, finances, the construction, the architect, the interior design, the contractors, the lawyers, the banks, the staff, writing, traveling, speaking, helping other pastors. That's what I spend my time doing. Then we have the staff. Now we'll go to the staff, what the staff does. The reason this is important is because sometimes people say, we want you to deal with that problem. We want you to come over here and deal with that problem. And I said, well, you know what? There's many people that are designed to help you. No, I want you to do that. I get asked this. And I have to very graciously say, that's not what I'm called to do. If you don't help me, I'm leaving the church. We get that every now and then. And so I have to say, you know what? I'm sorry, but I got to do what God tells me to do. But it's important for us to understand, it's not that I don't want to help you. And all y'all who know me, who have met me out on the street, know I'd love to talk to you. I wish I could meet all of y'all. Because I'll spend, you know, an hour sitting in and out talking to people in line or wherever. So it's not that I don't want to. I love meeting people from the church. It's just a matter of it's just not practical. Matter of fact, I did a little math. It would take me 3.61 years to sit with everybody for 1 hour, 8 hours a day. 3.6 years it would take if I did that only that. So it's not practical. Now, I know it's kind of, we all know that, but I just wanted to say that because I have to stay focused on what I'm called to do so I can continue to lead and feed. Now, the staff. Everyone say staff. Their job is to train. Say train. The saints for the work of the ministry. Turn to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians. Who's the man?
Jesus.
Moses died on Mount what?
Zion.
Moses died on Mount what?
Zion.
Moses died on Mount what? Sinai. Bang Zoom. How many of you do not know what Bang Zoom's from? How many of you never heard of Jackie Gleason? You never heard of Jackie Gleason? Never heard of Ralph Crandall? Can you believe this? Have you ever heard of Muhammad Ali? Is anybody here never heard of Muhammad Ali? How many of you never heard of Cassius Clay? That's Muhammad Ali. It was his name before Muhammad Ali. Okay. When someone goes into ministry, it's very important to understand their job is not to just do the ministry themselves. It is to train people to do the ministry. Okay? Let's read. Verse 11. He, Jesus himself, gave some to be apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors. This is the only time pastors in the Bible, by the way, this right verse right here. And teachers. Why? For the equipping. Say equipping. Equipping. How many P's does equipping have?
Two.
How many P's does equipping have?
Two.
How many P's does equipping have?
Two.
Very good. For the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying the body of Christ. You know what that says? Someone says, I want to work at the Rock. You know what we tell them? If you can go down to the bottom here. Cameraman, if you can go down to the bottom here. There we go. You know what we tell them? There's 3.1 million people in San Diego. There's 12 or so thousand people come through here in a month. There's a lot of need. We need you to equip the saints. Okay? The reason I'm explaining this to you, for two reasons. One, the more I talk about this, the more accountable we are to doing it. But I also want you to understand something. Sometimes, when people leave the church, when people leave staff in the church, we will never tell you why, because it's illegal, unethical, and we don't do that. And rumors start. What you have to understand is that everybody is hired, has a job description, job expectation, and they understand this. Sometimes people say, well, I'm going to do this, and they do this. Now, what happens is, we got all these people in need. We got all these people trying to reach. Let's say, I'm going to do this. Well, this ain't that. And this don't facilitate that. At the rate that we have people asking for help. You understand me? This is a problem. And so what happens is, we try to coach them to get to that or whatever, whatever. Sometimes it works out, sometimes it doesn't. The point is, we need this. Now, what if all of y'all said, okay, you can even have that person, but we ain't signed up. We end up with that. No one wants to help. And then we end up with all these people saying, I need help, and they can't get help. And they blame the church. Of course, they end up blaming me, but I can't do it all. We need this. So the staff's job is to recruit, train, you, and equip you to recruit and train someone else or help somebody else yourself. Are you following me? God said, I want you to save, equip, send. I want you to make disciples of all nations. And I want you to do it by delegating your responsibility to people who are trained to do it. Voila. Now, anything that doesn't go with that, we try to avoid. Now, people have great ideas. They have great desires. A lady came to me one time. She says, you don't do anything for older people. I said, everything's here for young people. I said, I don't set up any programs. So one, I'm the wrong person to complain to. If you want something, do it yourself. So the reason those young people have programs is because they're doing it themselves. It's about save, equip, and go do it. Because what? Guess what happens? Do you know why terrorism is so unstoppable? Because they got cells. They got independent contractors that are on their own, out there doing their own thing, and you can't find them. They don't have to be connected to this guy at the same time. They don't all walk around in groups. All out here, they are disciples. Disciples. You know how I started the ministry? I was in my house. I was playing football, was not in ministry. I was just going to church, and my neighbor got arrested. His 16-year-old brother was in the car across the street, right in front of my house that night. He got arrested at 5 in the morning. About 5 in the afternoon, sitting in the car, just kind of head down, and I called him in the house. He got saved. I said, why don't you go get your sister? He went next door, got his sister. She got saved. I said, why don't you go get one of your friends? They went down the street, got their friends. It was independent kids, the Filipino kids. Matter of fact, I had never seen a Filipino in my life. Really, I just didn't. I was grew up in New York, and they were standing in front of my house, drinking beers, throwing them on my lawn. And I'm like, fuck. So I went out there, I said, yo, what are y'all? He said, we Filipino, man. I said, why y'all, you know, why you trash my lawn? Why don't you come to my house and get saved so you don't go to hell? Come on, come on, come on, come on. This is a true story. Some of those kids not only still go to this church, this is 22 years ago. Not only do they still go to this church, some of those kids have kids who go to this church that are older than they were when I met them. I was by myself at the time. When I say by myself, I wasn't. God said, let's go. When God says, let's go, go. Because if all these people just started going out, you're talking about an evangelistic force that you cannot control? That's what I pray about every single day. And when I hear stuff, what about this? What about that? Save, equip, send. I got a new idea. Is it save, equip, send? Well, not really. No, I don't want to hear it. What about this? Miles, can you do it? No, I don't want to do that. I want to do this. I want to get those people saved. Hamburgers and french fries. Number five, church congregant. And then we're going to end with this. You know what your role is? To fulfill your discipleship responsibility. Jesus said, if you follow me, I will make you fishers of men. In other words, I'll teach you to do it yourself. If everybody, I'm going by 10,000 people. If 10,000 people went to church here on a monthly basis, if 10,000 of those people did any kind of ministry once a month, 120,000 people a year would get a touch from a Christian. That's Qualcomm filled twice by doing something once a month. Is once a month hard? No. If everybody did once times something once a week, 520,000 people from one church. That's one out of every six people in the county of San Diego. That's how simple it is. If I went and tried to do that, I'd die. But if we mobilize and organize and strategize and victimize and personalize and salmonize and caramelize, just what we have today, we can reach all these people in 6 years. Just from what we have today. When we move, our capacity is going to double. That means we can do it in 3 years. It's that simple. It really is that simple. Watch this. Eventually, what we would like to do is start churches around San Diego. Imagine if all these were churches. Oh, brother. All around San Diego, we have video churches. That'll be on the screen. We're all doing the same thing, same time. Worship, live everything. Sermon comes up on the screen, just like y'all watch the screen anyway. They do it all over the country. We had it all around. Matter of fact, there's a guy in Houston, in Dallas. He has a church in Miami. And they watch him by video. I want to start right here in San Diego. Bam, 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 bam. And we all were on the same page. Save, equip, send. Saddleback Church, last year, 2006, they provided 15,000 hours of counseling all by volunteers. That didn't register. 50 hours a day for 300 days. They counsel people for free by volunteers. Whoever is over that program, imagine that person compared to a person just counseling by themselves. We want this. We got needs. They fed all the homeless people three meals a day for 40 days straight in Orange County, one church. It ain't how many you got, it's what you do with what you got. I believe that y'all can be that kind of army to do unimaginable stuff. There's a church in Chicago, Willow Creek. They did a survey of how many of those people served the poor in a year, and it was a very low percentage, too low for the pastor's satisfaction. They put an initiative together to get more people serving the poor, and when it got to the end, 70% of the people served the poor on a regular basis of the church. My point is this. We all have to see ourselves as a team, as an army. There are some non-negotiables. It's not even worth discussing. This is a non-negotiable. Non-negotiable is our vision to be evangelistic force. Non-negotiables is we got to do it by mobilizing people. Those are all non-negotiables. The non-negotiable is that sitting and doing nothing is not even biblical. It's not biblical. That you're missing, you're cheating yourself. But if we all said we're going to work together, the devil's going to have to get a new strategy. He's going to have to get a new strategy. But we have to take that initiative. So in 2 weeks from now, well, next week we're going to have hopefully a gifts test for you on our website next week. I'll tell you that next Sunday. Week after that, we're going to have a ministry fair, and it's going to be just for 12 ministries that deal with the church. But let me tell you something, and please trust me in this. You will never, ever, ever be completely satisfied with your existence until you operate and do what you exist for. And what you exist for is to be one with God and to have Him through your gifts minister to other people. Until you are doing that, you are not going to be, you're going to have an emptiness. Something's missing. You could be saved. You could have a nice boyfriend. You could have a nice job. And sometimes you don't know what that feeling is until you get it. Until you get it. So you have to trust me on this. You have to trust the Bible. And say, okay, I want to find my gifts. I want to start doing it. I want to see what's going to happen. And there's going to be times you're going to be scared to death. But then when it happens, a river of living water is going to flow from your heart. And you're going to go, how could I ever do anything else? That's what awaits every single one of you. And if that happens, all these people, more and more of these people are going to get help. And you are going to be, I hate to use this word addicted, you are going to be addicted to the Holy Ghost. You were saying, God, use me again. Use me again. I was here last night. Whenever you see me here, I've been here. This is my sixth service. And forget the fact that I have understandably be tired. And today I didn't sleep because I watched the game. So I've been up. I was asleep in the afternoon. But it is so exciting. It is so much adrenaline, so much God saying, go, 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 go. And y'all, this is my favorite place to be all week in ministry. Because y'all like, gimme, gimme, gimme. It's like people come in there, like, man, so, I said, brother, when you go to speak at Sunday night, you're going to have the best time of your life. But this is what God made me do. God has something like that for you where you just can't not do it. Where you're more fulfilled and everything else you look for in life for happiness is going to be like, So, two things. One, come next week. We'll give you the test next week. 2 weeks, I want you to start praying about, Lord, I want to know what I want. I want you to prepare me to do something. Because in 7 months, we move. And in 7 months, we move to a place that is going to be, the room is going to hold more than twice as many seats. It's going to be a lot bigger than this because the ceiling is like 9 zillion feet high. It's like almost three of these. The balcony, matter of fact, the ceiling is three times as high as this. But our capacity grows. We're going to need so many more people to help park, so many more people to help do altar calls, so many more people to be ushers, so many more people to do everything. And we won't be able to do a good job of this if we don't have this. And there's going to be a lot of people complaining, I don't know this, how can I get this? And we don't want to do that. We don't want to just survive every week and have a service. We want to mobilize people. Mobilize people. And so I want you to pray about being part of the army and saying, I want to do something. Amen? Amen. And let me say this last thing. And please don't take this wrong. That's another way of saying take it wrong. If for some reason you don't feel like you can't get excited here, I really want to encourage you to find a church where you can be excited. Here's why. This is not about the rock. This is about you and God. And if you feel like, you know what, I just feel better over here, I will be so happy that you go. Because you need to be happy. You need to be fulfilled. And so the whole thing is not to keep you here, but to get you in a place where you can thrive. Find that place. Do not settle for just sitting, no matter where you go. And if you go someplace else and want to hide, don't do that. You cheat yourself. Amen? Lord, we just thank you so much. Thank you so much for being good to us, and thank you so much that you love us. And Lord, I just pray that we can really be an army, that we would take these things serious, that we read the Bible, and that we be obedient. I pray you raise up soldiers, soldierettes, people from every segment of society, people who live under the bridge, we pray we can reach them. People who are rich and poor and employed or employers, people who are sick in the hospital. Thank you, God. In Jesus' name, amen. Let me say this one last thing. I want you to go home and I want you to think, I want you to ask God, God, show me what you want me to do. There may be something God wants you to do that we're not doing. It's you. You may say, I want to minister to people who are in a mental hospital. I want to minister to people who are in rehab, people who live under the bridge, the homeless people at PB. I run in PB. I see them. I talk to them on the beach. You just may want to focus. Just go do it. Let's go. We want to get everybody. Everybody. Amen? Ask God to show you that. You don't have to be the leader of it. Just ask God to show you. Amen.